Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's good to see everybody here this morning. We had a good time last night and Friday night doing the pageant. And for those of you out in Facebook country that may have missed it, you're welcome to come next Friday or Saturday night because we'll be doing the same thing over again. Welcome to the regular Sunday morning service of the Lexington Christian Church. Those of you who are out watching online, we're glad you turned to have tuned in also. Our announcements this morning, we mentioned the pageant. How many of you have noticed that we've got maybe not a brand new parking lot, but one that's been in better shape than it has been in a good while? Had some renovation work done on it by Jeff Coombs, and bless his heart. He did the whole thing free of charge.
Amen.
His offering to the church, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Congregational meeting is, according to our bylaws, supposed to be held on the first Sunday of January for election of officers. Excuse me. Because of everything else that's going on and the virus is running around and what have you, this has been postponed a month to just get ourselves a little better organized. So that'll be held on February the 7th then. And the elders will have a list of nominees for any new positions that might be open or recurring positions that we might need to fill. Any birthdays this morning, this week, next week, last week? Anniversaries? Nobody. All right, then let's worship the Lord. Turn to 191. Hark the herald angels sing. Let's stand and sing.
Leroy's birthday today.
Yes,
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you for being around this long and making things happy for us. Mary, the Lord never said we had to be organized. He just said we had to be willing, right? Let's... let's turn back to number 187. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. This will be our prayer hymn this morning. In prayer, please.
Sure. Our Father and God, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have to be gathered together here in your house this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us so much. Lord, no matter what it is, no matter what our challenges that we face, we never go through it alone because you are right there with us. Even the Holy Spirit, called the Paraclete, the one who comes along beside us. Lord, thank you for all of these blessings. Thank you that we are never alone. There can be no one physically around us, but we are not alone because you are there. Lord, thank you for the comfort that you give, for the peace that you bring. And during this Christmas season especially, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Have your way in this service. In Christ's name, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Our communion hymn this morning is number 255, Jesus Paid It All. I John Kimmick has our communion meditation this morning.
Good morning. This morning's meditation is the wisdom of forgiveness. Resentment is the number one family killer. It generally works like this. Someone wounds me. These emotional wounds may be mild like a paper cut, moderate like a cut requiring stitches, or severe, a stab in the heart. The animal part of our brain responds in one of two ways to wounds and offenses. We attack or we avoid, and that is not typically just to match anger equally, but to top it. Escalating occurs and resentment takes root. Stop for a moment and think about someone you love but feel disconnected from right now because of past hurts. That person may be sitting next to you. Maybe they can feel you stewing, or maybe it's the person to whom you haven't spoken to in years. The Bible is very clear that we are to be people for forgiveness, not holders of resentment. So what are you going to do with Christ's teaching in this key area? I find that turning loose of resentment is far from simple. In fact, one thing we've learned about bitterness and resentment is that you can rarely talk yourself out of it. Your minister could preach on turning loose of your anger with all fervor and eloquence, and you could resolve to forgive, but it probably wouldn't last about as long as getting home. Dr. Stephen Stansi, a scholar in the area of bitterness and resentment who inspired this meditation, makes a powerful argument when he says, "If attitudes consistently produce behavior, we'd all keep our New Year's resolutions." So what does work? Resentment, like any other emotion, is present for a reason. Resentment is God's cue that we need to take some action. Resentment informs us that emotional disconnect has taken place and we do not need to develop a strategy of response. Here's the fascinating part. There's an emotional law at work here that paves the way for our strategy. If we choose to hurt the ones we love by attack or by distance, we feel worse. Increase the disconnection, feel more resentment. Close the distance, feel better. Resentment will not go away until you do what it is prompting you to do. The only emotion that appears to be strong enough to help us move toward those who have wounded us is compassion. That is what Jesus did for us. Even on the cross, when he said, "Father, forgive them," we see the all-important expression of compassion, "for they know not what they do." We wounded him in the ultimate way, but there was no resentment in Christ. He moved towards us. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Communion serves as a reminder of the intended way of life for his disciples. Don't allow the number one family killer to make you its next victim. As you examine yourself today, consider whom you need to move closer to as Christ moved closer to you. Let's pray. Father, your word instructs us to forgive each other just as you and your Son Jesus forgave us. As we now partake of your memorial supper, may we dump the resentment in our lives at the foot of the cross and recommit our lives to forgiving others. Amen.
When Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room for the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, passed it among them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, Jesus gave thanks, passed it among them, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink ye all of it." Let's stand for the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
As we continue our worship, let's turn to number 199. It came upon the midnight clear.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above forms are blending low, who ride the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold. The Prince of Peace, the King, and the whole world's in back the song which now the angels sing.
Isn't it good to sing the old Christmas hymn? Let's do it again. Just don't even turn the page. Just look to the right to number 200. O little town of Bethlehem. This morning?
This morning's reading is from Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Parable of the Unmerciful Servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat you, each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart."
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
You know, we go through the Bible here, pericope at a time, or section at a time. And isn't it amazing how God worked it out that this close to Christmas, we're talking about forgiveness? That was not intentional on my part, but it was on God's. So this morning, as we look at this text, we are talking about forgiveness and also lack of forgiveness. In this parable, both is dealt with. In the first instance, where the slave owed his master or his lord many, many talents. Each talent, is about 20 years worth of labor. And in some versions, it says 10,000 talents. So this was a fortune. This was more than any person could pay back in a lifetime. Now, why do you think that we have that example? He goes to his lord, to the king. The king was very generous, apparently, with letting this underling have credit, right? He came to him, asked for it, and he apparently gave it to him, and gave it to him. Then there was an accounting, and all of a sudden the king realizes, hey, he owes me millions and millions of dollars. It's time for me to get some of this back. And so when he calls him in for an account, he says, "Well, I don't have it, but please forgive me. Please forgive me." King was going to have him sold with his family, which, by the way, was a custom in that day. That was pretty common. If you had that kind of debt and you couldn't pay it, then you would be sold. And that way, a very small portion, but some of that money could be recovered. And you were then property that worked off debt. So here we have a perfect example of what it's like when we are lost. When we are lost, we owe a debt of sin that we cannot possibly pay. There is no way, no matter what we do, our entire life, we could try to do good works our whole life and never, ever do enough to pay back what Jesus could do in that one act of going to the cross. Why? Because he was perfect. He was the sinless Son of God. He never committed one sin, and yet in his righteousness and holiness, he died and paid the debt for us. He died in our place. He was our substitute. Because the wages of sin is what?
Death.
And death in this case doesn't just mean physical death. This means spiritual death. Death as in the final stages of death is you go to hell, and that is where death is. And folks, hell is described as a place that is horrible, where the fire is never quenched, the worms never die. I mean, you think about even the purpose of the demonic forces on earth. What they come to do is to kill, to steal, and destroy. Now, that's what they do here on earth. So imagine how much worse it would be in hell. You can't die there. But you sure can be tortured over and over and over. Now, this king not only apparently was generous, but he also was forgiving. When this servant cried out and begged, "Yes, I know I'm guilty. I know I owe you. I know that I should have not let it get this far away. I should have done better, and I didn't. But please, please forgive me, and I will. I will pay you back every penny." Well, the master, the king, the Lord, whatever you want to call him, he knew that there was no possible way that he could pay that back, no matter what he did. So he just said, "I forgive you." Now, folks, that's a perfect example of what happens when we become a Christian. We owe a debt for our sin, for our sinfulness, for our sin nature, that we cannot possibly pay. We cannot earn our way into heaven. We can't buy our way into heaven. We can't bribe our way into heaven. We can't beat our way into heaven. There is only one way to get into the heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And what he did when he died on the cross in our place, when we put our faith in him, when we humble ourselves before him. You know, there are many people who are willing to humble themselves when they get caught. And we have to be careful that we are not in a relationship with the Lord that is one where, you know, it's similar to what they call jailhouse revival, you know. You got caught, so now you're willing to confess because everybody knows anyway. That's not good enough. We have to really, truly repent from our heart, not because we're caught. We were always caught. God always knew our sin. There was no way to hide it from him. God always knows our sin. He even knows our every thought. There is no way that we can possibly hide from the Lord what we have done. And so when we get to that point, when we get to that place where we realize that God is righteous and holy and I am worse than a filthy rag, because of my sinfulness compared to his holiness and his righteousness, I am nothing. I am nothing. And only by accepting what Jesus has done can we be cleansed. Only by his blood being washed over us can he wash us and wash away the sins of the past and cleanse us, and then we are forgiven. We become a new creature in Christ. Glory to God. Folks, that is the best news that there ever was or ever will be. You can't earn it. You don't have to try. You know, I know lots of Christians that are constantly saying things like, "Well, I know I messed up, but if I do this, it'll make up for it. No, it won't, folks. You can't make up for the wrong we do. Jesus already did that. There is no such thing. You know, there are faiths, denominational belief systems where you have to go to confess to some man. I'm sorry, that is wrong. That's from the pit of hell. We do not have to confess to any man, and no man can forgive us of our sins. Only Jesus Christ can do that, folks. You know, if I do something that offends you, and I ask your forgiveness, that's different. But if I'm trying to confess things to someone that I did to somebody else, and they say, well, you know, you're forgiven, bless you, I'm sorry, that's lie from the pit of hell. They have no authority. They have no authority to forgive you. And there is no need for that, because the Bible says we can go directly to him ourselves. This servant who owed all that debt, did he go to somebody else? Did he go to the accountant and say, well, tell him I'll forgive. I'll work this off. Tell him, please forgive me. No, he didn't do that. He went directly before the master. He went directly before the king. He went to him, and the king had already given his judgment that he was to be sold. But then he begged. He pleaded. Not only for himself, but for his wife, his children, his family. And the king graciously granted forgiveness, absolution. You don't owe me anymore. Now that's the positive example. The next part of this is a negative example. That same person, that same slave who had just been forgiven of millions of dollars of debt, immediately got to thinking in his head, I guess, that, whoa, now I got a clean slate. I can start all over. Now I can build my fortune. And he runs over to the guy who owes him $20, you know. He says, pay me what you owe me right now. I don't have it, but if you'll give me time, I'll pay. Well, he started to grab him and choke him and threatening to throw him in jail. I mean, you talk about ungrateful. And yet, don't we sometimes live that way, folks? We as Christians are the ones who have been forgiven of this great debt. How many of you remember when you first came to Christ, when you first put your faith in Christ, you felt as if a weight was lifted off your shoulders? Let me see a show of hands here. You know why? Because that sin burden was lifted. That's why we felt that weight going away. That's when we received that peace that passes all understanding. Here this man had just had that weight lifted off of him. And yet, that wasn't good enough. He's got to use this to his advantage. He's got to get ahead. When we come to Christ, and as I said, we become new creatures. As new creatures, we have new set of rules, folks, that we live by. They're found in the Bible. We no longer live according to the world's standards. We no longer let Hollywood dictate to us how we should dress, how we should live our lives. We live according to what God says in his word. But what happens sometimes is the devil gets us sidetracked and gets us thinking about all the things of this earth instead of all the things of heaven. Heaven is our new home, by the way. When we become new creatures, heaven is our new home. This world is not my home. Remember that song? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Yeah, and that's a fact, folks. This is a proving ground. This is a place where we go through trials and tests and challenges. And every challenge that we successfully overcome, our faith gets a little bit stronger. Our relationship with Jesus gets a little bit deeper. And we keep growing. Now, there are challenges, there are tests that we fail. And guess what? We get to do it again. We get to do it again until we get it right. We don't move forward from that point. We keep going through that same challenge until we get it right. Then we can move on to the next. Then we can, I mean, let me ask you, how many people in here have ever built anything that required you following instructions? Yeah. Have you ever gotten to the end and found out you had extra parts? It's like, where'd that go? Oh, man, step 32, I skipped. What do you got to do? You got to undo everything, go back to step 32, and start over. It's no different, folks, in our spiritual life. It's no different. If we try to skip a step, things get out of place. Things don't end up right, and we have to go back. The scripture says, go back to your first love. We have to go back. We have to confess, repent, make it right, get back on the right track. You know, there is very specific instrumentation in aircraft and in vessels that travel on the water. And they say that if those were even 1 degree off, 1 degree from destination A to destination B, they would miss it by thousands of miles. So if our view of the Word of God is not right, will we get to heaven? And what I mean is, not just our view of the Bible per se, but what the Bible actually says. Are we really intentionally seeking out the truth of the Word of God and trying to live by it? Or are we just hoping that what we're doing is on course? The devil will try to get us so busy in the things of this life and in the things of this world that when somebody does something that offends us, we don't want to forgive them. We want to hold it over their head. You remember Jonah seemed to have a grudge against some people, didn't he? I mean, basically, he wanted the Ninevites to go to hell. He didn't want them to be saved. He wanted them to go to hell. He wanted them to pay for what they had done to his people. They had sent marauders into their land year after year after year, stole all of their grain and murdered people, raped their women. He didn't want them to be saved. He wanted them to have to pay. But the problem with that is Jesus in the Word says, God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Why do you think there's a hell? I know that it's easy for us to get caught up in all this sensitivity. You know, anymore, when you say things like, everybody's going to die, what's the big deal about how? Well, somebody gets offended by that. Oh, that's a horrible statement to make. No, it's not. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. We all die in the end, folks. Nobody gets out of this alive. Our spirit lives on forever. So the question is not, are we going to die in this physical realm? The question is, where are we going to go in the spiritual realm when our body dies? That's the most important. The devil wants people to be offended thinking they're going to die instead of thinking about what's going to happen to them, their eternal soul, when they die. We can receive this same forgiveness And we can share that same forgiveness with everyone. Folks, I was molested as a child. I forgave those who did that. No big deal. Really, it's not. It seemed like a big deal for a long time because I held on to it and because I blamed myself and this and that and the other. And finally, God said, let it go. Just forgive them. Let it go. You know who it was hurting that I didn't forgive them? It was hurting me. It wasn't hurting them. But the moment that I forgave, it was like another weight lifted off. That's what forgiveness does, folks. Unforgiveness will hold you down and weigh you down, make you miserable. But when we forgive, it's again that lifting of a burden, because we're carrying a burden that usually doesn't even belong to us, because we were the one that was done wrong, not the one that did the wrong. Why is it that the one that's done wrong usually is the one that carries the burden and the one that did wrong doesn't? Well, it doesn't have to be that way. We can forgive them. You know, I know I've shared this before, but I think it's appropriate here. There was a story that I read or heard somewhere about a woman who had been into a shopping center or a Walmart or someplace, some big store, some big complex with a huge parking lot. She come out and a guy grabbed her and hit her and forced her into the car and began to rape her. And she kept saying to this man, it's all right. I love you and Jesus loves you. It's all right. I love you and Jesus. And this man kept saying, shut up. Shut up. It's okay. I love you and Jesus loves you. It's okay. Finally, he stopped. He said, call the police, please. He was willing to pay because of what she said. And here's the clincher on that story, folks, is he sat there and he waited. He confessed. He was put in prison because he had done other women that way. This woman went to the prison and visited him and led him to the Lord. Now that's forgiveness, folks. That's forgiveness. It's not easy, but Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for them. Wow. So my question is, how are we doing with our forgiveness? Is there somebody in our life, somebody in our past, that we have held on to resentment? We have held on to that anger, that frustration, that hurt, and it's hurting us. It's not hurting them, it's hurting us. And we need to let it go. We need to forgive them the same way that Jesus forgave us. Don't ever think that the things that we did as sinners did not hurt God. It hurt him deeply. The same way that when our child does something wrong against us, hurts us. Because he is our heavenly Father. It hurts him when we do him wrong. But he forgave us of all that. That's our example of forgiveness. How are we doing? If you have a need this morning, just come as we sing Brother Bob.
Our invitation this morning is number 219. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright, so, most gracious Lord, may we evermore be led to Thee. Let's stand and sing.
As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light, leading most gracious heart, may we evermore be led to Thee, as with joyful steps they sped to that lowly manger bed, there to bend the knee before Him whom heaven and earth adore. So may we with willing feet ever seek the mercy seat, as they offer gifts most rare at that manger rude and bare. So may we with holy joy, pure and free from sin's alloy, all our costliest treasures bring, Christ to Thee, our heavenly King. Holy Jesus, every day keep us in the narrow way, and when earthly things are past,